Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
At what point when you're coughing, do your alveoli just come out of your nose? At what point do you just... Do you ever do that where you're, like, coughing or you got... Like, do you ever get, like, a... Not when you've, it's usually not when you got the flu. It's usually when you've, I don't know, you've inhaled something. You know what my mom, well, you know what my mom would call putting it down the wrong pipe. You're drinking some water.
Yeah.
And you do that thing where you accidentally, here's the thing. Have you ever done this? Have you ever sneezed while you're drinking? And so you're putting down the liquid and you go, you know, and then it's like vapor lock. And then you don't know where that, your body doesn't know where the hell anything's going. And so then you get this weird, like, thorax rattling cough going on. Where you just, you know, and your rib cage is like it's undergoing a stress test at the NASA headquarters. But did you ever get one of those coughs? I know this is turning into like a Jerry Seinfeld thing here. But did you ever get one of those coughs where you swear to God you thought that you were going to cough up organs? Like, it wouldn't have surprised you. But just, and like, if you'd seen a spleen or something, or I guess the spleen come out, I wouldn't surprise you none at all.
It happened this week. By the way, Mike, our engineer, scrubbed these microphones by hand.
Oh,
he
damn.
Took them apart. And that's not the microphone you usually have.
It's just new?
You swap them around.
Yeah, excellent.
At least the windscreens are.
Well, this one's brand new. There's no bits of Kenny Vance's mucus on here.
Yeah.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about. Nothing but the best at Fisher Broadcasting. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 3 minutes, 55 seconds after the hour of 12, you know, in the month of November, the year of our Lord, 2002. Thank you for coming along. We're here along with Christina Carlson, Matthew Peterson, Tim Riley. We appreciate your radio presence and patronage and so forth. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. Coming up today, it's a cornucopia of... Hold on, I can alliterate this if I try. It's a cornucopia of communications... Yeah. Cucamonga. Always go with the K. Here's a little tip for you aspiring comedy folks out there. Always go with the K. K is funny. Cucamonga. Kalamazoo. Kalamath. Snoqualmie. See, there's like a K sound there in the middle.
What's so funny about Klamath?
I don't know there, Grunty McGee. Why don't you tell me about this? So is it your whole mouth that doesn't work today? It should be noted. Let me just stop now. Let me bring the room down for a minute and make this observation. We can't go more than like a week here without somebody going off to the doctor and having holes drilled in the side of their head. It inhibits them from speaking. It's usually Tim, though.
Usually.
What is your excuse over there, jaws wired shut?
I've actually got some kind of... I don't know, ear infection or something causing my ear to ache.
Is your ear located under your tongue now?
No, it's really not, but where it's at that it hurts is kind of like right at the base of my ear, so it's right at the top of my jaw.
Did you just ask him to explain it so it's in pain?
Yeah, exactly. That's why he wants me. So if I move my jaw too much, it hurts, so I'm trying not to move my jaw very much.
That could be an irregularly shaped ear canal.
This just screams take advantage of me for comedic purposes, doesn't it?
Probably really does, Rick.
That's what I'm talking about. You do best never to mention those things to me, because then suddenly it's like, hey, Tim's not here. Somebody's got to read the stock market report. All right, then. Excellent.
Yeah, it looks like hell. Your retirement's screwed. That's enough.
Well, anyway, we should... It sounds like when you get from jamming yourself with a rusty nail. Did you ever get that lecture from your mom that you were going to get a lockjaw? Yes. No one gets lockjaw. It never happens. You find me one person, like this century, ever got lockjaw. Never. But, of course, I still live in fear. When I was working in Salt Lake, I had to go out to the county fair and put up the booth for our hot talk station because they'd ill-advisedly purchased us a booth. And I like putting it up by myself because, of course, you know, there's never any promotions people to help you with the AM station, because the AM station is always the Kurdish faction of any radio station. So I'm like out there putting it up myself. I'm the program director at this point, by the way. When I was in Salt Lake, I'm the program director and afternoon drive host. Not to wax my own car, but at that point in my career, I was the program director and highest rated personality in the station. Me. Out there stapling up banners to press board. Ka-chink, ka-chink. And then there's like a banner snags on one section of the booth display. Me, I'll just reach up and rusty nail right into the palm of your hand. And then what do you immediately start thinking?
Lockjaw. Never going to be able to speak again. I'll be screwed. I won't be able to do my show anymore.
So I put it off for like a couple hours.
I'm thinking, it'll probably go away.
But I put it off so long then, like, then you start getting those cold sweat, you know, daydreams, the daymares of like, okay, now what if everything my mom told me was true? What if my spine fuses together? And then I go up to the hospital and I'm looking at my, and between stabbing myself with a rusty nail and going to the hospital, I found somebody to tell me about lockjaw. They're like, yeah, it usually sets in within 5 hours. So now I'm counting backwards on my watch, driving to the hospital. I go there, they're making me sit for like 90 minutes. I didn't get it, though. Point is, you never get it. No one gets
can I really
lockjaw.
Sympathize with you?
Why don't you tell me more about that?
Yeah.
It's like ventriloquist school over there. All right. Coming up today, we got a bunch of things to start with.
Too bad I can't really pronounce my F's or my K's very well yet, so otherwise I'd, you know, have some ventriloquist things to say to you.
Yeah, that's that sass we like to hear from over there. We got a Bush watch coming up. Also a Gore watch. Top five, of course, later on. It's entirely possible Richard Nunn will just show up. You can never tell with that guy. This, however, is Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
There you go.
And this news is brought to you by Active Water Sports, where for around, say, $199 a month and no payments of interest for 6 months, you can get a tournament boat on approved credit. Active Water Sports, they take your fun seriously. Okay, so they captured some big Al-Qaeda guy. Because it's a slow news day, they just said they did it, but apparently he's been in custody for a few days now. So Pat Buchanan is asking terrorism expert Steve Emerson. I don't think he's any relation.
No, Steve Emerson's that guy. He's like some special forces dude that used to be on Rivera Live all the time right after 9/11 happened. I dig that guy.
Well, anyway, here he is. Pat is asking, why don't we give this Al-Qaeda guy a big heaping glass of truth serum?
In other words, give them some kind of drug, non-torture, but to get them to release their inhibitions and to tell us what's
called Spanish fly.
Pat. Well, I suspect, first of all, that even without using truth serum, that certain
no, that relieves their inhibitions and makes them not want to talk.
Techniques have been used now against some of the other Bin Laden operatives. Probably sleep deprivation, probably disorientation, probably a psychological type of warfare against them. Bottom line, I don't have a problem with truth serum. It's not something that impairs permanently their physical capabilities. It's a temporary type of a relaxation of their sensory perceptions and their unwillingness to talk about this stuff. The only real question is, should there be actual application and use of even more drastic type of efforts, such
what?
As
torture.
Pat says, hopefully. What? You can hear his ears perking up there when they're talking about slamming some guy's knuckles in a refrigerator door.
Yeah, then bring it down to the illegal aliens. Well, we got plenty of violence here to talk about today.
Excellent.
One person dead, two others wounded after a shooting last night in North Portland, not my neighborhood, further over.
No, it's where Matt was talking
Matt
about moving to.
Rent a house in
over
this
at a place aptly titled Killingsworth.
Yeah. Well, investigators aren't sure if the shooting is gang related. Police say when they arrived, they heard a gunshot fired, and a neighbor describes the sound of the gunfire.
Excellent. Is that the same operative they've got working on deciphering the Osama tape?
Probably so. At first, you thought it was fireworks.
Fireworks. Fireworks? You know, I looked at the time. It's going to 10.
Jesus, God.
Johnny Williams' niece is one of the shooting victims.
I don't really know what happened. I really don't know what I was at home when they called me at 10 o'clock last night. That's all I know.
I don't know. When K2 came and woke me up this morning,
my niece had got killed.
There was some crying journalist at my front porch.
There are plenty of vacancies always in this neighborhood.
Yeah,
I
spoke right.
Cory Ponce gave me authority to
tell
him.
Whoa, what the hell?
We didn't start that story yet.
I thought it was just your
mother.
Jaw.
I thought he cued me.
No.
My bad.
No. I just picked up a piece of paper and moved it across the counter.
Okay there, Mumbles. Yeah, whatever you say.
Let's move on to the other one here. Two child welfare agency workers have been placed on leave after botching the handling of reports that Ashley Pond had been sexually abused by the man who's in charge with their killing. Lori Pond's, the mother, speaks through her lawyer about this.
I trust Lori Pond gave me authority to tell you her reaction is this. My daughter might be alive today if someone in authority would have believed her.
Now, Lori Pond never reported Ward Weaver to the police or brought Ashley to the hospital.
No, because that would take time away from watching soap operas, apparently.
Ashley Pond's reading teacher reported Ward Weaver, though.
I think it was necessary. But they're not the only people involved in this sad state of affairs for social services. And, just taking them out of the picture isn't going to be a significant change in itself.
Now, do we know if the mom is pregnant yet with more kids?
She probably is.
All right, probably right about now. We should have some sort of a pool on how long it'll take for more children to be born into that particular slice of American wonderful life.
And her song did not contribute to this report.
Yeah.
Time for the Bushwatch.
He's the president in residence, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Life is hard, that's the price of fame. When you're president, everyone knows your name. Hey, what's that there? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's our man. That's my Bush.
Well, it's Super Thursday.
What?
Bush Watch Story.
Excellent.
Here's the first one. A senior Canadian has reportedly called Bush a moron. Canada has declined to comment on reports of a senior Canadian official at the NATO summit in Prague referred to George Bush as, quote, a moron.
Well, that's kind of funny, too, that the statement is that Canada declined, like the whole country. They just took the, you're going to comment? Everyone, no.
Anyway, the incident is unlikely to improve the already rocky relationship between Bush and the Canadian Prime Minister, who is clearly uncomfortable with the Republican stance on many issues. The National Post newspaper said one top Canadian official expressed frustration that Bush seemed more keen in building up moral support for a possible assault in Iraq rather than focusing on NATO expansion.
And, which is clearly, that is also clearly false because he's obviously not intent on building up moral support. If he was building up moral support, he'd be doing something to, you know, make us feel better about it. But he's not even doing that. And am I the only one, I've been thinking about Canada a lot lately, am I the only one who feels like Canada's probably been sandbagging us all this time? Because you hear so much about how they're a peaceful country in there. You know, they got pretty much, I mean, per capita, they got pretty much the same number of guns we do, but they never kill anybody there.
No.
So, it's just kind of a, you know,
they're
like a warm and fuzzy place.
Yeah.
But I got the feeling they've been holding back, and that if we ever tried to do anything, they would just nuke us. You know what I mean? Like, I think Canada totally is to speak softly and then hide a bunch of thermonuclear weapons somewhere. And if we ever tried to annex them, we're going to annex Canada. And then they would just blow us off the map.
Yeah.
Just that I can't prove that. You're speculating that I think that Canada probably... I think Canada probably just considers it a matter of time before we just put a big fence around them and make them part of Montana.
And when's the last time you said, let's go out and eat something Canadian now?
Never.
Never. Here's the second part. Once again, Veterans Day went by without anybody in the mainstream media pointing out that our commander-in-chief is a draft dodger. It has been well documented that George W. Bush's father called in some personal favors to get his son into the Texas Air National Guard. Then Bush got himself transferred to Alabama, of all places, where he was destined to serve with distinction, except, well, he never showed up. Essentially, W. ditched his military duties for almost a year, and yet, for some reason, he was never charged with desertion. Not to mention the fact that Bush was grounded for several months after refusing to submit to a routine physical exam back in 1972. The possible motive? The exam would have included a compulsory drug test.
That's just more of that liberal claptrap now. Did I tell you that I got some guy, I was making fun of Fox News the other day, and some guy sent me an email and said, how dare you criticize the only fair and balanced
journalism at its best.
That's the new Fox slogan. What is it now with the home of real journalism?
The home of real
journalism.
That's
the new Fox slogan now. Fox News. The home. Aren't we the Fox News affiliate?
Yeah.
Why do we never carry anything from them?
Oh, we do, but we make fun of it.
Do we ever actually have Fox News sound?
Yeah, we do. All on right. occasion, sure.
All right, anyway. But the new slogan is that the Fox News, the home of real journalism.
Make my skin crawl. We cover all the Geraldo stuff, but he disappears every few weeks, so we don't know what happens to him.
We had to do... I miss that guy. Everybody makes fun of Geraldo, but it's like the thing with Geraldo is you just got to be zen with it. You just got to... Watching Geraldo's news is like watching Reform School Girls too. You just got to acknowledge that it's crap and like... Be that thing. Just embrace it. There's your Bushwatch for
He's
Thursday.
He's the president in residence, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country straying. That's my Bush.
Actually, the worst part about having that cold last week, and I got a little bit of a lingering cough, but the cold itself, it's abated. The worst part was not being able to sing along with the Bushwatch. That was the low point. That was the ebb.
We're all starting to feel better now.
Except for Clyde. Clyde's got it now, though.
Oh, yeah, I heard him happy yesterday. Like out in the parking lot.
Me, how you doing, Clyde?
I'm okay.
Just, it's passed on to him now, so the infection has left me. I've spread it to someone new.
Well, it may seem like a beautiful dream, but 7 former members of the Warsaw Pact have been taken under the NATO umbrella. The Eastern European countries were put under the iron boot of Uncle Joe Stalin after the Second World War.
Definitivně skončila éra nás.
The era when countries were divided by force into spheres of influence, or when the stronger used to subjugate the weaker, has come to an end.
Man, I miss the Soviets. And don't count on any of these people helping us out in any war, because most of these people still don't have any shoes.
In that way, they're exactly like the Iraqis. We're all brothers under the skin.
So that's that. Right. Let's switch gears here. Parker Posey plays a book editor in a safe marriage who discovers himself, or herself, when she gets a big promotion in Personal Velocity. The film shows the lives of three different women and was shot on digital video. This sounds very interesting, doesn't it?
What was that last movie where she played a book editor?
I don't know.
Didn't Parker Posey just play a book editor in some other film? Oh, it was in... Oh, no, I didn't want to say what movie it was because it'll embarrass me as a man. All right, no, she never played a book editor.
What movie was it?
What movie?
I'm not going to take anything your ass says seriously today anyway.
What movie was it?
Well, I can't talk about it.
Come on. I like Parker Posey. I'd like to go see it.
Moving on.
Parker Posey. Talk about being named Queen of the Indies by Time Magazine, please.
It really hasn't helped get, you know, a lot of work. I mean, I have gotten work. I'm lucky to be, you know, working out.
If she was Queen of the Indy 500, I might pay attention.
You know, well, the studio
Queen
really
of Indies in general. It's
indie movies, you know, around that time that came out, which is a bit unfortunate because indie movies don't really pay, and it's the studio movies that pay you money.
She even talks like Kim Morgan. I know that Kim hates being told that she looks like Parker Posey. She even sounds like Kim. She even got the
same inflections. Kim interviewed her like 2 weeks ago, didn't she?
Yeah, the mirror has two faces.
Parker, talk about how the independent film world has changed.
Now these independent films require, you know, certain marketability, which they didn't 7 or 8 years ago. The movies weren't concerned with that.
That's just
creepy.
They
were more of the director's medium. And then the studios kind of got a hold of the talent that was around and kept these projects in holding. For actors who have more marketability, you know, for the big names.
Wasn't it the... Okay, I'll admit it now. I think it was You've Got Mail.
It was.
It's just shameful. I don't like to talk about it. Parker, the question now is, who's the new Parker Posey? Because I said this, and you can take this to the bank, Bubba, that Parker Posey was the new Ally Sheedy. So the question then becomes, who is the new Ally Sheedy? Here's a universal truism, by the way. If you're a woman, I'm talking yesterday to Jolie about what chicks think. You can write this down. If you're a woman, you want to know how guys think. Every single guy on planet Earth thinks that Ally Sheedy was a whole lot more attractive before Molly Ringwald took her in the back and took all the black stuff off her face. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm not done with Parker yet. Parker, I hear you don't like auditioning.
I'm bad at auditions because I'm already working on the part, so I'm already thinking about what it is that I'm doing. So I think actors who do well at auditions really just play one choice and kind of allow the director to feel safe around them or that they can mold their performance. And that just kind of goes against my grain, so I don't really do well at them.
No, sorry to hear that.
Well, no one auditioned. I mean, I've never been an actor or anything, but it's like auditioning has got to be the worst part of the entire process. That's got to be the worst part of the entire thing. Well, you go on auditions, right?
I used to.
Yeah. Back when I had work.
You know, you're always on the wrong side of the town, stuck in a traffic jam, and then you finally get there, and you're late, and they're already
pissed
off at you.
Well, auditioning, the radio equivalent of this is sending off the air check, though.
And you never hear back.
No, it's like when there's some opening in Saskatoon. You know, we're looking for it.
We're not looking for
energetic
white people right now.
But then you're like... You know, it's like, this is a perfect example. Like, how many hours a year? I mean, it shows 3 hours a day, so 15 hours. So we do 15 hours of the show a week, but it's like, you know, and when I was doing the syndicated thing, it was 4 hours a day, so it's 20 hours a day. Yet whenever some station's like, well, send me a tape, and, you know, send me 12 minutes, you know, that demonstrates that you are the best radio host in the country. And your sortings are like, literally like 800 hours of tape, trying to find 12 minutes in a row. It's what they call unscoped, where you can't edit it. They just want you to pick a random 12 minutes and don't alter it anyway. Because then they think that you're stacking the deck somehow to make yourself sound better than you really are. And this is as good as it sounds. Like, I know, there's nothing you can do to make me sound any better. I can't be polished in any way. You know, I'm just kind of this guy who comes and babbles, and that's all it is. And there's no editing going to make me sound any better. But
God,
like
we have jobs.
It's like perfume on a pig. You know what I mean? You try to edit the show to make it sound better, it's just going to sound like the same track it already is. But so, you take out like 20 minutes, send it up, and you never hear back.
You never even, like, Christ, even when McDonald's didn't hire me, I got a,
dear applicant, you are not suitable for our current,
you know, that I can hang in the back of my door to take myself down a peg whenever I felt the, whenever I felt like it was getting a little too uppity. It's like John Lennon had that, John Lennon for years carried around this card from the British Waterworks telling him that he wasn't suitable for employment there. And so I got that from McDonald's. But in radio, you like, you just never hear anything. At least at an audition, do they call you and say no?
Yeah, I got a form letter back that says, a long, long time ago, back when I was a jack, that said, we will never need anyone with your skills, ever.
Please, please stop contacting us. All right. It's just sad. All right, it's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. The only way this show could be better is if it was, by, like, done by somebody else. That might make this show slightly better. If it was no longer the Rick Emerson Show. If it was just Phil Hendry until 3, the show might be better.
He's getting a sitcom. And it's going to be a bad one, too.
That's Tim Riley who said that. I love you, Phil. I think we got the story on that. We'll talk about that here in a while. Also coming up, a Gore Watch, more of your phone calls. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk Today, KTK. Stay there.
Got an opinion? Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right. 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk. Very good to get. Coming up here in just a few, we got the CNN Radio's Jim Rupa will be joining us. Later on, we got the, I think it's a Gore Watch. We got kind of also top five. This is from Jim in Canada. Rick, you're on to us. Canada is poised to take over the United States. You will note that Canada is bigger and on top. That makes you our bitch. P.S. F that laconic bastard, Matt.
Whoa.
Do we have the Matt? We have the F Matt there? Try that one more time.
This F Matt could be sponsored by your business.
All right. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Okay, so the new James Bond movie comes out Friday. And in it, the vehicle this time is a Jaguar XKR, which is driven by one of the villains in Die Another Day. It's specially equipped for the chase scenes with door-mounted rocket launchers, missiles in the front grille, and mortar bombs in the trunk. James Bond Aston Martin comes equipped with even more.
It's got a pair of 9mm machine guns that come up through the hood vents, 5 heat-seeking missiles, 2 shotguns that operate from the front radiator grille, and, of course, the signature ejector seat.
That's Jane Valentine of Ford, who says, Ford will sell a special car driven by Halle Berry in the movie.
Halle Berry, who is the,
pedestrian
the Bond
in the
girl in the film, will show up at the Ice Palace, that's also in Die Another Day, in a beautiful coral Thunderbird, which will be a special edition 007 2003 Ford Thunderbird.
I got to bring that to a close. No man can drive a car that's coral colored. I mean, it can actually be that color, but you can't ever call it coral. It's like driving something that's called, you know, what is this, aquamarine? It's like when I this girlfriend wanted me to start referring to my clothes. Did you ever get this? You'll talk about a color and chicks start correcting you. You know, like, hey, where, hon, have you seen my tan shirt? You mean your taupe shirt? No, it's tan. It's not. It's taupe. And it's like,
Has anyone seen my teal trousers?
Yeah, have you ever done this, too? You go into a store and everything's food. Well, we have avocado, cherry, vanilla. You know, it's like, no.
I had a mustard colored Montego a few years
ago. Now, mustard's the only, that's the only exception. Mustard and olive. You can have mustard, you can have olive. You
it's
can't
not
have
even
anything.
Olive, it's olive drab.
Exactly, but you can't have anything that's almond. We have an almond colored pair of, you know, shorts, but no, you don't. And I'm not going to wear them even if you do. It's not going to happen.
Well, by the way, speaking of 007, George Lazenby's only appearance as 007 is on tonight.
On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
On TNN, of all
parts. Worst Bond ever.
3 stars, though.
Well, it's not the worst movie, but he's the worst Bond.
Yeah, probably so. Anyway, I'm moving along here. Question of the day, is Michael Jackson fit to be a father? Child protection officers in California are standing by to snatch those babes from his arms if he comes back to California.
Did you see those kids? He was at the zoo, and the kids are out there in these weird Handmaid's Tale get-ups. They all got the weird red
like
sack.
Al-Qaeda veils.
Completely. The kids are all like in the burka get-up. It's just creepy. However you want to raise your kids, it's not my responsibility. I'm just saying, you dress your kids up like they're,
You know what his kids look like? His kids look like some of those like Thai hookers that you see, like in those real sex, you know, movies on Showtime. That's what the kids are dressed up like. Anyway. Welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Our friend in Los Angeles, reporter extraordinaire, mensch of all he sees. It's CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. What's up with you, man?
I am well, sir. I trust you are, too, on this fine Thursday.
I am well. So I hear that everybody's killing each other in L.A.
How about that, man? We're fast becoming the murder capital of the world. We're going to beat out Washington, D.C.
Are you, in fact, per capita, the murder... Are you the murder capital of America now in L.A.?
I believe not yet. We're not at our record high, but it's the...
But you're doing the best you can.
We're trying, man. We're really working hard at it. It's the rate of increased murder that everyone's concerned about. I mean, just this past weekend there were 13 homicides, 9 of them gang related, and just a 48-hour period, 5 officer involved shootings.
Here's a question: Why does anybody live there? You know what I mean? It's like why would you stay? If you woke up and you're like, I'm in L.A., why would you possibly just not leave?
We're all being held hostage.
Well, it's got to be it, man. Because here's the thing about L.A., it just at least in my experience. Like, New York is, you know, kind of a violent place because a lot of people, different cultures clashing and whatnot. But you talk to people in New York, it's like, hey, do you like New York? And, oh, yeah, damn right I do. And they get in your face about it. They're all about the New York pride. They're representing for New York. You talk to people in L.A., and it's like, do you like living in L.A.? No. Like, no one in L.A. actually enjoys being there. It's like talking to people in Provo, Utah. No one... You talk to people in Salt Lake. How do you feel about living in Salt Lake? Well, I'm here, I guess. You know? And it's just sort of like it's like being stuck in quicksand. There's nothing you can do about it.
I'll be honest with you about something. And I know we're not on the air, so I can tell you this.
Yes.
I have been trying to get out of L.A. for... probably 15 years.
Well, it's like there's a bus station about 15 miles away.
Yeah, but I can't, you know, I'm not going to leave without a job. I have a family. And it's really tough. People look at me or they talk to me and say, why do you want to leave L.A. and come here? And they think either they can't afford me or that I'm a nut for wanting to leave Los Angeles because that's where they all want to come because there's more money and sunshine.
Now, L.A. is just grimy. You know what I mean? I got nothing against California. I'm not like a lot of people in the Northwest who just hate all things that are from the, you know, the Sunshine State or whatever the hell you are. No, you're not the Sunshine. You're the Golden State.
We're the Golden State.
Yeah. I don't have any problem. You know, Southern California's beautiful place. There's some nice places in Northern California. It's just L.A. L.A. has just got this patina of grime and dirt all over it, and it just rubs off onto your soul after a while.
Yeah.
You just start to wake up, and you just realize, it's like after a certain amount of time in L.A., I think you just wake up and you become a bad person.
Oh,
you
man.
Know what I mean? No, it's serious. It's like going to a party, and you don't smoke, but it doesn't matter because you get the lung damage and the skin smell of smoking anyway. That's what it is in L.A. You might not be a sleazy, show business agent, but you start to just get that sort of aura around you anyway. It's a bad place.
Well, there are a couple of us who are able to shed that funk, as you call it.
The funk. Yeah. Shedding the funk.
We can shed the funk and be regular people.
The other thing about the murder rate, though, is you ever talk to people from, like, Detroit, who I think continuously lead the rest of the... I think, like, every year it ends up being Detroit. And people in Detroit have got this weird sort of, like, this perverse pride in their murder rate. You know, it's like, what's up in Detroit? Murder rate number one, baby! Ugh!
Booyah! You know, it's like they wait for the last week in December to see what everybody else's rate is, and use that last week to really, you know, go over the top.
Yeah, the city all pulls together in the last few days of December to push themselves over the top so they get something to be proud of there. Because otherwise, it's just the insane clown posse, and that's nothing for state pride, my friend. All right, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roof. There you go. Memories of that place.
Speaking of that, all you do is throw everything in the back of your pickup truck. Get a tarp and some duct tape and just keep driving north and eventually you'll get here.
It's just unpleasant in every way you can possibly imagine. Alan Woschugel, what's up with you?
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
What do you got, man?
Well, listen, you've been in a bad mood somewhat for the past week or so. I'd like to cheer you up a little bit.
Yes.
Oh, now I'm bringing you down. You sound like your voice has dropped an octave or two.
No, I'm preparing to receive the gift of your cheer. That was me.
Well, Christina, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, listen, I called in last week. I upped Matt with a Washington Husky helmet, and of course the Huskies came through and made the Duckies their bitches. And now this week it's your turn. So I can't F you, but I'd like to bet you. So what do you say?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the Husky and Cougars. They got the big rivalry going on. You guys have the Cougars on Saturday.
A game of some sort.
Yeah, football. Now, if the Huskies win, Christina, how about if you show up at Rick's studio in G-string and pasties?
Oh, yeah, because that'd make us. That wouldn't bring any awkwardness to the show. Yeah, we'd all be able to.
I don't know if that would cheer me up necessarily.
We'd all be able to do work then.
But it'd make it worthwhile.
Yeah, well, you know,
we have sports on this station on the weekend.
Strong liquor, but the FCC won't let me drink on the air. Bob, you're a full-time listener in Portland. What's up with you, man?
Hey, some Bond trivia since you're mentioning Honor Majesty's Secret Service.
Yes. Yes?
They talk about the Bond family crest. I guess he's supposed to be just kind of some artillery guy that does the history stuff.
Uh-huh.
The Bond family crest motto, non sufficit orbis.
Yes.
Can you translate that?
I cannot.
The world is not enough.
Oh, really? Is that true?
It is. My last name is Bond. Of course I know that.
What, is that like Latin or something?
I believe so.
And the only Latin I know, if it doesn't pertain to like Catholicism and, you know, the body of Christ being ingested in some weird ritual, that's I can't speak Latin. It's all the Latin I know. Excellent.
Well, you now know where the name came from.
Yeah, see, that's something you can use to impress dudes at dude gatherings. And speaking of which, let me talk to you about a dude gathering, man. You want to talk about this, just... I mean, like, per capita, like, more dude energy than you've ever witnessed and really is legally safe, I think, to have concentrated in one space. We were over at Trey Yant's house last night. Trey was the god of all things sales-oriented here at Fisher Radio Portland. And we were at his house last night because he's got the brand, you know, he's got the home theater system. And then I get the brand-new Glenn Ross DVD, which we watched last night. And let me just talk about this for a second. Can I just bring something up? Is it possible that you could make DVDs harder to open? Like, could you possibly find more, cellophane sticky things to, like, rent? You're like, I haven't bought a CD in forever, but you know what I'm talking about.
It's like there's a bottle of Tylenol.
No, there's, like, one over the top, and there's one over the bottom, and then there used to be the long box. The kids, they don't remember the long box. But there used to be the long box, and then the saran wrap, and then the three seals, and then the security sticker. And I'm totally like the type A person where I've got to get like every bit of that sticker off the DVD case. So I'm trying to open it last night. It's taken me like 10 minutes. Like, yeah, it's like you're trying to find the Ark of the Covenant. You know what I mean? Like, you have to go through like 9 different, you know, you have to pass the breath of God and, you know, everything. It's a little Indiana Jones illusion there. All right, 1-800-727-5955. We got more on the way, including Top 5, also a Gore Watch coming up in just a few more of your phone calls. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We'll be back. Here's Pulp. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Well, have you ever taken a good look inside Clyde's locker? Man, that's just a super fun sight in there. You expect, like, Geraldo to be in there, like, poking around for Al Capone wine bottles and whatnot. Al Capone was a... Never mind.
I noticed he cleaned all his other stuff out of the back suit. He used to have, like, I mean, weird stuff like UFO marionettes and alien hand puppets and things like that.
Well, no, it was like, it's like there was some sort of an ad hoc Wham. You know that store in the mall, Wham? You know what the hell I'm talking about? It's like a Spencer's gift. It's not quite as classy and elegant as a Spencer's gifts, you know. But there's like this sort of impromptu flea market going on in the back production room, and it was like all Clyde stuff. It's like the last, what was the last divorce Clyde got? 96. It's like when Clyde got his last divorce and we were having a flea market on the air and just selling all his stuff. And it's like the studio just looked like, you know, it was just like you just stumbled into like Jane Gumm's garage. You
Which
know what I mean?
Studio?
Just all this crap everywhere.
Are you talking the back one?
Wherever all Clyde's stuff was, behind the...
There's another one that has a bunch of Clyde stuff around the
corner.
Oh, he
must have moved it. We're always discovering new ones. They're like Super Mario coin boxes. They're everywhere.
Tap of the Gore Watch.
Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto, Domo. Domo. Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Al Gore says whomever the Democrats nominate for president could have an excellent chance to reclaim the White House in 2004 because President Bush's economic policies have been, quote, a catastrophic failure, unquote. In an interview with the AP, Gore also said Bush is making serious mistakes in the war on terrorism by shifting his focus to Iraq. Are you cracking your knuckles?
Sorry.
I can hear them in my head.
Okay, sorry, Mom.
You should turn your microphone off if you're going to make those kind of sound.
I didn't know anybody could hear them.
Yeah. Where was I?
It's amazing how those microphones work where they pick up sound
in front of them. Hey there, Wobbles. I don't need any criticism from the... it's not even a peanut gallery today because the peanut gallery can speak. It's just sort of a cashew gallery today or you're a Brazil nut or something.
But the former
hazelnuts myself.
The vice president hasn't yet decided whether to make another run for president. If he does, however, he plans to run a different kind of campaign. I've learned a lot over the past 2 years.
A winning campaign.
I think I'm better at some things in politics than others. If I run again, I'll concentrate on two things. Talk to people in relaxed settings, and listening carefully. So those are the two things he...
What else could he concentrate on?
Listening.
What is left for Al Gore to concentrate on? He got more votes. Like, what else can he do at this point? And I plan on being swallowed by a whale and then regurgitated alive 3 days later. What else is it that he could do at this juncture? This is nothing. You get 500,000 more votes and yet don't become president. That's God's way of telling you quit running. That's the universe's way of saying, knock it off.
But that's today's Gore One. So let's see what's on TV tonight. A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, immediately followed by a Winnie the Pooh Thanksgiving. Which one's a better show?
I didn't know there was a Winnie the Pooh Thanksgiving. Is there some sort of a brutal assault that takes place with him and Tigger?
It's a rerun. So it must have been on before. CSI Crime Scene Investigation of Film Processing Laboratory turns a snuff film over to investigators. Biography, Richard Widmark, Strength of Character.
I have no idea who Richard Widmark is.
Oh, he's some B actor.
Okay.
Way back when.
All right.
Back in Charlton Heston's day. Ghostbusters 2 with Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd is on tonight.
Featuring Bobby Brown on the soundtrack, baby.
As is a show I never heard of before, The Real LAPD, where officers try to prevent illegal activities. That's the storyline.
Is that like illegal activities within the Ramparts, please, the precinct?
It doesn't say.
But let me just say this about Ghostbusters 2. They showed up. Now, see, I had it. They showed up, regrouped, got a grip, came equipped, I can't even remember. There was that Bobby Brown. You remember what I'm talking about? That hideous Bobby Brown rap song?
I'll elect not to try to say that today.
Well, that's right. Matt tells me this during the break.
Yeah, so not only can't I talk, I can't stand up either, because if I stand up, I fall over.
So it's lots of amusement and big laughs for everybody here.
I don't completely over. I just kind of feel a little wobbly because my equilibrium's off with my ear being all
Matthew wobbles, but he don't fall down.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that.
Showed up, regrouped, got a grip, came equipped, put the proton packs on the back, and they split. That's what it is, baby. Ugh! Feel that!
All right. Or not. Waterworld's on tonight, too. So don't miss it.
What is batting 1,000? Ghostbusters 2 and Waterworld all in one night. What is Can't Stop the Music? Is that too high quality to be on the night?
Oh, listen to this. Christina Applegate guest stars as Rachel's sister Amy and a very special Thanksgiving Friends.
You know,
if it's sister against sister.
Can I just tell you this? Anything with the words very special, you don't need to watch. It's by dint of the fact that you're listening to this station and this show. If it has the words very and special put, it's like a Google search. If very special is in quotes somewhere, you can safely skip it.
Yep.
You don't need to feel like you're going to be missing something good.
Tell us about your very special part in this episode, Christina.
I am playing Rachel's other sister. I think Reese was unavailable this week, so they made another sister, who also isn't the kindest person in the world. I don't like to think of her as a mean girl. She just doesn't really pay attention. She doesn't edit her words from thought to mouth. Doesn't really edit.
I don't like to think of it as my career sputtering to a halt and then bursting into flames.
Well, we understand your character ruins Thanksgiving. Is that not so?
Isn't it tradition that every year their Thanksgiving gets ruined in some way? So that would be my job.
I thought that was our Thanksgiving.
Yeah, my character, Amy, she was going to her boyfriend for Thanksgiving, and on her way to her boyfriend's, her hair got frizzy, so she stopped at her sister's house to get a straightener because it was on the way. And the boyfriend canceled on her, and she had no place to go. So
yeah, make sure you miss
Rachel
it.
Invited her to Thanksgiving, and she proceeds to ruin it.
Yeah, if you're near a TV, make sure you stab your eyes out with a fork, by the way, because you don't want to inadvertently see that. Can't we just, like, change the name of every sitcom to Hijinks Ensue? Wouldn't that pretty much just wrap it all up for the week?
Tell us why Amy jumps the shark on the show, Christina.
Because she
Does it actually
to have
say that?
No, Rachel's I made baby. That one. If Rachel dies, Rachel and Ross die, she wants to be the one who gets the baby.
and she comes to find out that she's not next in line.
Ah, there you go, baby. Dollar in the jar, or, you know, one of your shoelaces, or something you've got that's worth a dollar. Excellent. That's what I'm talking about. All right. 1-800-727-5955. Alan, a full-time listener in Portland. What's up with you, man?
Hey, man, you've heard of the What Would Jesus Drive campaign?
Yes.
I heard about that this morning. It got me thinking.
What would Jesus drive? It's a bunch of environmentalists who are talking about, you know, Jesus would drive something solar-powered, apparently.
Right. So I started thinking about that. It kind of bothered me. I thought, man, what would Jesus drive? So I thought, I started looking at it, and it turns out that on over 84% of his trips, he had with him six or more disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And in the towns that he visited, only a third were, you know, completely covered with the, you know, stone roads to Rome.
Right.
So it turns out that in the end, Jesus would drive a Toyota Sequoia.
See, I was thinking it would just be a microbus. Just by, I mean, just look at the guy. Just take a long look at that Savior.
Well,
he's,
you know,
minibus material all the way.
But you know, if he was using a Saturn or maybe a two-wheel drive vehicle, we wouldn't be left with a Sermon on the Mount. We'd pretty much have a sermon on the street.
I was,
think about it. Just follow that trail of logic.
Yeah, if he was driving a Saturn, maybe. But how about a sermon at the hairdressing salon?
How about a Segway?
What's that?
A Segway.
Into
I
what?
Saw somebody on a Segway
like
the other day.
Segway.
I saw somebody on a Segway talking on a cell phone next to that new market across the street
Man.
From Powell's.
You see another person like that, just set them on fire. Doing the world a favor. The real question is, what would Jesus do for a Kit Kat bar? We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.